Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right, so it is mass chaos. If you hear a dog bark, a kid scream, a cow moo, it is because it is ridiculous to get five people's schedule set up for a conference call. No worries, though. We've got the talented, ever ready to give birth in the backseat of a car, Tyler Bridges. We've got the beautiful and help deliver. We've got.
I think that's naturally impossible. But, I mean, Tyler does some amazing things, so it wouldn't surprise me. But
we've got Ann Beck. We've got Lindsay. Lindsay, what's your last name? I had it, but then I lost it.
It's McDonald.
And then Miss Melinda Parks. And so, how's everybody doing today?
Doing great.
Doing wonderful.
Everything's good.
Excellent. So, I've got a set of questions, and I guess just as you answer it, maybe say, you know, this is Anne here, and I think blah, blah, blah. I don't know. So, let's go around the horn with your job titles. Tyler, you want to start?
Yes, I am the Associate Director for the K-20 Center for Educational and Community Renewal at the University of Oklahoma.
Excellent. Next.
Well, I'm Lindsay McDonald, and I am a Spanish teacher and department chair at Westmont High School.
Excellent.
My name is Ann Beck, and I am a program manager at KISS Institute of Practical Robotics, and I manage football.
Okay.
My name is Melinda Parks. I teach history at Westmore High School and serve as senior sponsor.
Excellent. So I am so happy to have such a diverse group. And your chat was awesome. The questions you guys put together were very thoughtful and a little hard. I'm really happy with the new Twitter character count, actually.
Yeah, 280. That was a good 280 chat.
So what was the intention for this chat? What were you hoping to see or get out of it?
Everybody all at once now.
Yeah.
So this is Lindsay. I think that it was, we all both have gained, you know, we're in class together, and we have all gained a lot from this discussion of our visionary whys, and we all shared them in class, our vision, and I don't think there was, we were all affected by having to think about our own whys, but also by hearing about everybody else's. So I think that's kind of what created this.
That was one of the most amazing things to me was I think we have like 17 in our cohort, and everyone obviously had the same kind of the same assignment, I guess you could say, and it was amazing how we're all essentially in the same business, yet we all have different reasons for why we're in the business and different reasons for what we kind of hope to accomplish as our core mission and our, you know, our total existence for doing what we do. And so it was really, it was an emotional process, I think, for most all of us, and it was really, it was really enjoyable to just hear kind of the, again, the core, just like visceral reason why people choose to do what they do and what motivates them. And it was a really great experience in our class. For me, it was, anyway.
No, you go ahead.
Well, it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and forget why it is that you do what you do every day. And I think it was a good chance for all of us in class to reflect and really get down deep and rediscover that in ourselves. And we also wanted to provide that opportunity to these people that, you know, many of us have spoken to over the years and participated in the Edge Chats with, and kind of give them a chance to share that and maybe do that sort of reflection on their own as well.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I was wanting to say. This is Annie. What Melinda just got done saying was, I think the reason for the chat that I really thought was important to put on was that sometimes with the day-to-day, maybe the people that are in Oklahoma Ed are going to be the most passionate people in Oklahoma because they're taking time out of their Sundays to get involved and to build that professional learning network. But even with us doing that every Sunday, sometimes we forget our why. And it's just a good reminder to remember why we're here, because we get so frustrated with other things and, you know, the way Oklahoma education is going right now. And it's just really good to remember that those things are great and those things are ways to promote others to for our field, but we're here for a reason, and to kind of let the rest of Oklahoma reflect on that too.
I love it. So did you have a favorite question of the night?
Well, we'll say this. Melinda Parks did most of the questions, so we all need to give her a big round of applause. I asked everybody to put in questions, and we were also writing 20-page at the minimum papers at the time. So it was, by the time it was done on Wednesday, I think we're all like, dude, I don't even have another question or another. You asked me to ask a question about my why one more time, I think I may just like go nuts. So I don't think that many people were happy with me already on that Wednesday going, okay, let's look at it. So Melinda really bucked it up on Saturday and just like threw out all this stuff. She's like, I don't think they're good, but they were just amazing. And they were very thought-provoking questions where a lot of us were just like, wow, we have not seen a lot of these questions in a Twitter chat in a long time. You know, how is this going to go? But I thought it went well, and it really was very thought-provoking. So everybody needs to go to shout out to Melinda, because she did 99% of the question form. So she's
a good role. I was a good copy and paster of what she typed out.
Yes.
great questions.
Yes, great questions. So
well done, Melinda.
For that, right? I get a few credit for that.
You should.
I tried to frick to our Twitter, but I guess maybe he didn't see that email, or he doesn't know what Twitter is. I don't know. So he should have got some bonus points for that. Yes, absolutely.
Well, and he did have a few papers to score, so.
And they were, again,
20 pages each.
30-page papers, so probably took some time.
Well, were there any answers that stood out to you folks throughout the night?
Oh, man.
Oh, I know. That's a hard one. There's just so many.
There were about 75 really great side conversations that were going on.
I like that you were chastising us as we were having a side conversation. There's a chat going on here. I was like, I know, it's right here.
I'm sorry, go
ahead.
My favorite question of the night was one that came really, really late. Miss moving answers. The last question of the evening was, what visionary leader did you most admire and why? Mm-hmm. And so many of the responses were other people in education who are in the trenches with us. And knowing that we can look to each other for inspiration, to me, was really moving.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We've said many times on this podcast, Oklahoma Ed loves Oklahoma Ed. I mean, and I know that that reaches outside of Oklahoma now, but we really do. It's just this little tight-knit community, even though some of us have never met. And we really like to give props to the people who inspire us. So we've said that a few times here. What are your passions? And not necessarily EDU. You can go outside of EDU. What turns you on right now?
That's a very personal question.
I guess it's a minute or...
Name in the apple for explicits, because we can go on and on.
Okay, this went south. What are some things that drive you right now?
Honestly, motivation. I was going to say, I'm super into coffee at the moment, and bourbon and stuff like that.
But. Coffee and bourbon.
5-hour energies.
Okay.
I think for me, I've kind of had a change in jobs, and that's been tough because of circumstances that were kind of out of my control. But I think a passion, you know, for me is just continuously working with people who, you know, and that's what this class was so good about, was that, you know, where we are, and as long as that mission, that why is, you know, incorporated on how we help kids, how we further kids with, you know, better access to computer science curriculum, better access to, you know, ELA curriculum, whatever it is, I don't think it's necessarily where we're at. So I think that my passion right now just lies in working around and working with people, because I've been lucky and working in places that people are passionate, and this new job that I have is no different. Just, you know, working with that to give better access to our students, and just, you know, to make Oklahoma, you know, better. I mean, we have a new computer science standards out right now that aren't really necessarily what some people want. They're kind of back and forth, but, you know, there's definitely a lot of people there that are really trying to make Oklahoma the forefront of computer science standards and what our students are learning. And, you know, that's just one bit of what I'm passionate about with students, but it's a great vehicle to and a great place to be around. So I think my passion right now is just to continuously surround myself with people who want to make a difference for our kids.
What a great answer.
See, and I'm obviously a slightly different role in my career than what I have been for the last, you know, 13, 14 years, not technically being in a school setting, and it's motivating the conversations that we're having about kind of along the same lines of filling some of the gaps that are out there and really, really helping schools and teachers and leaders kind of get to that point where they may, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's getting to that point where they're able to have the tools, and they're equipped with some really great strategies and tools in their toolbox to do some really amazing things. And I think we've been, somebody said the other day, which was, I thought, a great quote, that, you know, Oklahoma has been so neglected in the public education system for so long that people don't even realize what it should be like. They don't
right.
even realize, they don't even understand what they're missing. Yeah. And I think we here at K20 are able to offer such, I'm just amazed daily at the talent and the expertise and the knowledge that a lot of our people have, and being able to get out and find ways to share that with schools, because there's just not enough of that out there. And so that's really, we've had some really kind of in-depth conversations about what else we can do, and just how we can find the means to be able to affect even more people and more schools and more teachers, just because it's that important, because obviously we feel the struggle statewide. It's not just about our organization, it's about something bigger than us, and so that's what's really driving us at the moment. And I just love to get into schools and see teachers work and talk to leaders about what they're doing, because again, we don't share enough, and we're getting tighter knit, but we're not tight knit enough yet. And I like being able to kind of connect some of those people and those resources and schools and things together. So
awesome.
Perfect.
This is Lindsay, and I'm you know, different than Tyler, and because I am still in the classroom, and that's my passion, is working with the students. And this year has been a very challenging year for me because we were a member short in our department. So three of us have been teaching during our planned time, and then of course we took this semester to start my doctoral program. So it's been a very stressful year. And so going back and looking at this why, and my why was, it was all about the students. And also, I'm a mom, and I'm trying to be the kind of teacher that I want for my own kids. And I think, you know, although there's a lot of stress that has gone with this year, it's been great having these classes where I can, like I said, and even going right back to our discussion the other night on Twitter, where we can sit and think about our why we do what we do, because like Melinda was saying, we don't ever take the time to do that. We just do what we do. And so anyway, that's, for me, it all goes back to the student. Well, it does for all of us go back to the students in whatever role we play. It's just, I'm looking at them every single day. So
yeah.
I like it. One of my favorite answers of the night was from Wes Fryer, actually, when he was talking about how do we, when the question was, how do you ensure that your vision's being reflected on in your daily practice? And he even said, like, integrate it into your Twitter profile, write it down, make it visible. Do you guys, you know, how do you ensure that your vision is reflected daily?
Sorry. Yeah, that goes into a lot of what we discussed in this visionary class, and, you know, being a leader with that vision. And, you know, that's just, it goes so much deeper into, you know, how hard it is in organizations to, you know, amplify that vision whenever there are other things in play. And so that's a good way. But, you know, just thinking of that, I remember reading that question too and thinking how lucky I was to be in this class. This class is actually something offered for a career path that, you know, really gets you deep into how you can effectively display your vision in, as a leader into a growing organization or into organizations we see in public education, as a superintendent, as a principal. There are so many different things that are out of your control, so many different megaphones going on. And, you know, we really got to dissect how, you know, how we need to filter things, how we, you know, and all that. Because Tyler sent Seth and I a text today about one of the tweets with the golden circle, but we just really went into depth on how everything needs to be filtered through that why. And even those of us in Oklahoma Ed, again, that's why the chat I thought was so important. Even though those of us in Oklahoma Ed are that passionate, sometimes we need reminders of, are we doing that in all of our decisions? Are we doing that when we're getting frustrated? You know, and I think that that was a really good tool that I know. And a lot of us in the class really wish we could repeat the class our last semester, because it just, at the first of the year, first of the program, it's great. But at the end of the program would be really transformational as we go out to new roles if we choose to do so.
Wow, yep. Good. Lindsay, who are your edu heroes?
Oh my goodness. I'm put on the spot. I can't even... how long do I have?
Do you want me to come back?
I mean, I have several, and for all different reasons.
Yeah, do it. Tell us.
Okay. So I think Darcy Pippins in Norman is a Spanish teacher. She's phenomenal. And I have looked at her when I got assigned AP Spanish. She was the first person I called because she rocks it all the time, and she's funny, and she knows what she's doing, and her kids love her. And I just, so from my subject area perspective, I look at her. For leaders, people like our own superintendent, Dr. Rome Ines. I've got to know him a lot, and through working obviously in the district, but even through his leadership after our tornado, my oldest son was in one of the schools that was hit, and so I've gotten to know him, and of course interviewed him for one of the papers we just wrote, and we talked about that some more. And I've, in getting to know him even better and his, seeing some of his why, it is inspiring, and it's good to know that there are people who really have kids at heart when they're making their decisions. Oh gosh, I could go on and on with more people, but you're cute.
And who are your edu heroes?
That's kind of hard. I think, I was trying to think. I was hoping that would just be a Lindsay question.
Well, the rest of you should get your answers canned.
Yeah, I would have to say the first would be my middle school principal whenever I was teaching middle school at Dibble. He's a deputy superintendent at Piedmont now. His name's Sean Blankenship. He was the one that just kept coming in there. And it started about 6 months. I mean, like, he was on me about 6 months. He's like, I just really, really think you would like this thing, Twitter. I just really think that if you got on social SS chat, you know, because at that time we didn't have an Oakland and Ed chat, he's like, I just really think that you would really like it. And I was like, I don't get Twitter. And so, you know, and he was also the one that brought me to, you know, my
was able to send me to my first ed camp in Philadelphia. I mean, I went to my first ed camp in Philadelphia, which was awesome. And, you know, in those things, it just really kind of showed me what a passion it was to teach, and that teaching was no longer a job. It was who I was. And I mean, when he come in and evaluate us, it was like, if he had to miss, it was like, you're so upset because all the stuff you got after your evaluation was just a gold mine of things to make you better. One of my favorite ones is Lisa Johnson. She is a tech integration specialist at Westlake School in Austin, and she's just been a big motivator and just a great friend. Has turned into a great friend, and she's been through a lot, through this and that. And so she's just, you know, been everywhere, and she's a great person to turn to. And my CPS Friends leaders, I mean, Tyler Bridges was a major impact in my life, and my creative, I think when we worked together, was probably the most creative I ever was, and just you know, great leader. And Kevin Heim too, just, you know, allowed me to do things outside the box. And so those probably my top four. And I was gonna put Tyler in my presentation, but I didn't want to embarrass him. But you know, Tyler has been a major impact in my life, so he's definitely one that I look to a lot for. Just, I mean, I love how Tyler handles things. Like, he's just such a, besides him picking on Melinda, but, you know. Just kidding. But, those would have to, I mean, I could go on and on, but those would have to be probably my top four of people that I really look to as leaders, as visionaries, as how I want people to be treated, and creativity are those four that I would say would be my top four.
Excellent. Melinda, who are your edge of heroes?
Well, I have to start with my dad, who, first of all, is the best dad ever, and I will fight you if you argue with me. But he was in education for over 40 years as a teacher and as an administrator, and watching him just pour into kids who desperately needed an adult in their lives, who cared, it shaped the way that I have approached education. And particularly in my early years as a teacher, it was always with him, if I brought something up, what's best for your students? What's best for your students? What's best for your students? I could say it in my voice. I've heard it so many times. So there's, you know, my dad has to be top of the list. Dr. Romine is the epitome of someone who practices what he preaches and keeps students at the center of everything he does, and I deeply admire him for that. Additionally, I would say, as far as subject area goes, Ken Pennington, who is now at UCO as a professor, was my mentor teacher and kept me from doing some really stupid things along the way, but was amazing and supportive, and I'm so appreciative to have known her and had her still actually shape what I do. David Peek, who is now our assistant superintendent of secondary education, our district, was my biology teacher in high school, bless his heart. And just the way that he could connect with students and be so gently pushing us outside our box has been something that I have tried to emulate. And again, I think like everyone else, I could talk for days about any of these people and many more, but those would be my top handful.
Excellent. Well, Tyler, you know the question's coming. Who are your edu heroes?
I would like to think, since I was the last and had several minutes to think about it, I would have a profound answer. But you know, I mean, for me, it's guys that I talk with on an extremely regular basis. And hero, I think, is obviously a pretty lofty word, but I think it's guys that, even in just the everyday and the conversations about everyday things that affect us all, that are really willing to be open and honest, and also kind of get to the point in a seemingly mundane education conversation that they would you think that they would fight you for what the right answer should be. And those are guys like, I mean, Kevin Heim is somebody who I obviously really, really enjoyed working with, and was kind of one of the first leaders that I worked with. The vast majority of all of our conversations were about what was good for kids and what was good for schools and what was good for teachers. And it wasn't just you know, wasting time and just doing the business of school. And I talk with, I mean, I talk with Jason James all the time, talk with, you know, Sean Heim all the time, and guys like that just, they're so passionate about what they do, and they're so passionate about doing things the right way, and getting things, you know, to be better for education in Oklahoma. So most all of mine are local people that I talk to quite a bit. I talk to, you know, guys like Rick Hopp. I mean, I admire Rick's leadership style, and how he's willing to push the envelope and to really get out there and be kind of a lightning rod. And those are kind of people that I, you know, look up to and want to emulate, and obviously hope that others would see me in the same, you know, vein, either now or in the future in leadership. Guys like Rob Miller and, like I said, Rick Cobb. And then you look at people like, you know, I greatly admire Joe Sayano. I've gotten to know him a little bit through my career, and obviously he's retired now, but just kind of his leadership style and his great success that he's had as a leader in the state. And they're, like I said, a lot of them are local guys and guys that again, you know, just talk to on a regular basis you know, just want things to really be better for kids and better for teachers and other leaders in the state. So
this is not a typical question that I ask, but say this podcast episode has a direct line to your legislators. Do you have anything that you want to throw out there to them? You know, special session coming. What's up with the teacher shortage? What's up with the budget? Any last words you want to tell your legislators?
It's real.
Go
ahead. Sorry. No, not at all. I was just going to say it's real. I mean, we were talking around, you know, something and trying to find excuses for the reasons why our teachers are poorly paid or why our, you know, state is poorly funded. And, well, no, it's not really. If you look at this and if you factor in this and that, I mean, it's real. And all they're doing by prolonging the process is just, in my opinion, my wife is an educator. Obviously, I'm a lifelong educator, and most of my friends and people that I, you know, do things with and spend time with are educators. And, you know, obviously I have two kids in public schools, and the longer that this prolongs and they make excuses for the reasons why it's not as bad as what we say it is, the more disrespected people feel. And I just think it's a sad situation. We're going to lose a generation of kids, and we're going to lose an entire generation of people who would have been educators had there been a little bit more respect. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's real. The problem is real. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's real.
Well, and it's time for, you know, one thing that we've done in Oklahoma, you know, as a moderator of Oklahoma Edge, trying to get a lot passed is, okay, so our state hasn't stepped up and done what they need to do. What can communities do? And my husband in Lexington, and I saw pictures on Facebook, our communities are giving gift certificates to our teachers. They are giving discounts for health services to our teachers. They're doing whatever possible thing that they can do to keep great teachers in Oklahoma. And I think that, I mean, look at the Facebook streams, look at the conversations, and seeing how much community outpour there is for our teachers. This year, it's known, you know, and if anything, you know, it's not looking good on our state legislators. And, you know, if everybody else is in agreement on the outside, then there's got to be a change in how we vote the next time if something's not done. I mean, I think we're at that point now, as let's not bicker about it, but, you know, we're at a point now where it's real. Like Tyler said, it's real and it's wide known to where you're going to lose your job. I mean, I really think that we didn't see that this election, but I think that as much outcry and as much conversations happen, we as Oklahoma educators and leaders need to continue those conversations even in non-election years. That, you know, it's something's got to be done.
I'm not trying to be snarky. I really do want them to come and sit with me for a day, just a day, and see what my day is like. And the 185 kids that I have, you know, classes of, this is Lindsay, by the way.
Yeah.
The classes that I have, you know, with over 30 kids, and that includes in my AP class. Some of my AP classes are over 30, and my first hour has 35. And even if you have a really great bunch of kids, I mean, that is so many. You can't walk around, you can't monitor, you can't. So class sizes are an issue. And then, of course, teacher shortage. Again, I'm teaching on my plan, which is why I have an extra 30-something kids. But I mean, I remember the days when I'd have a class of 28 and think, oh my goodness, how am I going to accommodate this? And, I really would like for them to understand, truly understand what it's like, because I think, and not just them, I mean, members of the community who don't understand what the problem is, you know, come and spend a day and just see. And I mean that from a very caring, perspective. I really want people to understand what it's like, because it's not like when you were in school, it's very different from this side of the desk. And that's what I would say to them, is please take time to come out and see what your decisions impact.
That was beautiful.
One of the things that we spent a good bit of time in class talking about this semester is the connection between the flourishing child and the health of our society as a whole. And we are at a point where our children are not flourishing. And one of the major reasons why is because the state legislature is shortchanging those children. Whether it's education funding or whether it is, you know, mental health funding or whatever service these children may be getting that they aren't now because the state legislature is not able to come to some sort of compromise on a workable budget, let alone all of the shortfall that has come before now. And if we can't say as a society that our children are flourishing, then there's something deeply, deeply flawed within us. And I think we need to, not just the state legislature, but our society as a whole needs to step back and say, wait, where have we gone wrong? What can we do to solve this? Where do we go from here?
Yeah. I really appreciate your words today. I really appreciate you giving me, 30 minutes of your time on a day off, on your break. And I truly hope you guys have a great, restful break before we get going again in January. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin, for everything that you do and to do this podcast. It's reaching a lot of people who cannot attend Sunday and likes to, have a recap of what they thought the Sunday night was before, and you and Scott just do an excellent job. So thanks for your work for Okla Ed and Oklahoma educators.
You're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.